When families face food disruption or uncertainty, every meal can feel even more overwhelming, especially with a child who has feeding differences. That's why Feeding Matters created a food access resources page on their It's Not Picky Eating website to help families find state and national resources, as well as guidance and support through Feeding Matters regional community councils. You'll also find a guide to help food banks and community partners better support families of children with feeding disorders and differences, as well as a guide for therapy offices to create community food tables. Visit itsnotpickyeating.org and click the link Food Access Resources.
Presented by Feeding Matters, with host Jacqueline Peterson and Dr. Haley Estrom.
Feeding does matter.
Welcome back to the Feeding Does Matter podcast. Today, we're doing something really special. Instead of our traditional written CEO year in review, Jacqueline and I wanted to bring you a more personal, candid conversation about this year, the challenges, the breakthroughs, and what's ahead for feeding development. Jacqueline, you shared with me that this has been one of the hardest years for the nonprofit and research ecosystem that we've really seen in a long time. I'd like to start there.
Yeah, Haley, it's a good place to start. And you know just as much on your side of things as a researcher and scientist as well, that there's been a lot of uncertainty this year. The funding landscape for nonprofits and researchers and science and just families and services is completely uncertain. And so, you know, there's all of the things that was this year, and then there's all of the things that our families and clinicians are facing, even outside of the uncertainty of this year, in their own uncertainty. Fragmented systems, everybody on different pages, talking different language, just really confusing and overwhelming for so many of our families, even adults with ARFID and children, and even our clinicians that are trying to navigate their own uncertainty in this broader system of PFD and ARFID. And so I think it's a great place to start, because even though this year was hard in so many places, I do like to focus on where there is hope and where there is movement. And I think that amidst all of it, we just worked on what we could focus on and kept moving. And that was really important to us. And I know you and I have had conversations both on the podcast and offline about what that looks like and how we are really trying to make sure that we're building trust with our community, especially with our families. And I think something to celebrate too is how our community just continues to keep showing up for Feeding Matters, showing up for families, and showing up for each other. And that is something to celebrate. And so I think today we're going to walk through, you know, what happened this year, celebrate some of those things. And especially because I know we've heard a lot from a lot of people, oh, Feeding Matters is doing this or this or this. And I didn't know you were doing that, or I didn't know you were doing this. So this is your comprehensive overview of what happened this year. And we really want it to be not only a list of accomplishments to celebrate, but also a story of resilience, that system change is slow and exponential, and the impact is that way. But we're also here for those day-to-day smaller milestones that support families along the way. And so, yeah, I'm excited to chat with you today.
Sounds fantastic. Okay, well, let's get started. So the first thing, and it really was just such a human, heart-forward beginning to the year. So can you tell me about the book launch?
We kicked off the year with like a lot of things.
Start to the year.
Yeah, it was the first time that we had our conference in person since 2019. And so that was huge. And so we had our international PFD conference here in Phoenix, Arizona. It had over 917 professionals and families, both in person and virtually. And we had representation from several countries, more than 45 countries. And we really saw many different themes that emerged from that conference. I think we saw that people were really passionate about early screening and making sure that all the disciplines were on the same page as it relates to mental health. and how to support mental health amidst the confusion of making sure we're accessing services, we're screening for all the things that we need to in all the four domains of medical, feeding skill, nutrition, and psychosocial, and making sure that things are family and patient centered. I like to think it's an inspiration from the consortium and from the conversations that we've had around this. But I know that there's so much more that we don't control as well, that I'd love to see the movement towards this patient and family centeredness. And all of that to say, it was really also cool to see everybody so excited about getting local and making sure outreach is happening in their own community, because so Feeding Matters is a national international organization. We're headquartered here in Arizona. You're not in Arizona, but I meet with you so frequently. And we meet with so many partners across the country and the world. And we really do try to figure out, like, how do we move the system forward? But then we also have trouble with, we know that there's only so much we can do as a small organization with a really large goal for impact. Mm-hmm. And so it really takes our community getting local and really making sure that grassroots outreach is happening. And that was so inspiring to see, both at the conference and then all of the follow-ups that have happened since the conference. So that was conference. We also launched our children's book, In My Own Way, which is a book that follows Ollie's journey. I think something that was really cool has been all of the parents that have shared their comments from the book. And I'll just share one quick one here, because we have a family member who had sent it to school with her son in preschool, and the whole class reads it every single week or something. But then they all can reference, Ollie does it in his own way. And it's been so cool to not only see her son embrace the, you know, how Ollie is, that it's when it's on his timeline and when he's ready to do something. But it's also been cool to see the preschool classroom understand that, oh yeah, you know, he maybe takes longer to eat, or he does all these things. And it's just so cool that that's happening in preschool. So I don't know. I thought that was a cool story. And then the thing that also was very a human and heart-centered of the first start of the year was the work that you and I did together in gathering the research consortium together to set research priorities for where our consortium wants to see the field start moving as it relates to what should be researched, what's important to consider, and all of those things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's super exciting. And the paper from that was submitted too.
Yeah, it's like to start the year and end the year, it's kind of come full circle. And so I know that the consortium members did so much work to make that meeting happen, but also to make the paper happen. And I know that we're really excited to share the results of that, and hopefully it gets selected and submitted and published. And we're hopeful for that. Yes. But What's something from that start of the year, even that meeting, that like you took away?
I think one of the biggest things, like I know we had a solid feel of being family centered, but I think it helped bring into focus the patient lens and like our inclusion of having patients on the consortium. And so bringing that patient and family centered focus into the consortium, I think is so valuable. That started for me to bring more of the shift towards, you know, bringing the consortium, not just PFD, but PFD and ARFID as well. So patient and family, PFD and ARFID, because it started as family and PFD, but we shifted to being all those things. And I think it's for the better. For
sure. I agree. And so much of that meeting, too, was an acknowledgement of how language does matter. And I know that that was also a theme in the conference, too. And and so we want to be responsive to what our community is asking us to do. And the consortium's been so great about talking around that and understanding where are the things that like are important to be collaborative on and have consensus on as it relates to language and how we're naming things, and what does that look like for the for what can be done in a whole field as well. So yeah, I love that. That's a great takeaway.
Yeah, it's more together.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Well, we're better together.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So all in all, even in a tough year, the field really did come together in a very powerful way with all of that and kicking it off for a really good start.
Yeah, for sure.
It felt excellent. All right. You ready to talk about the Family First cohort?
The Family First Empowerment Cohort. I think we've talked about it on this podcast, but just to give an overview, this was a pilot project that we were able to launch due to some grant funding that we received. And it was to really focus on, we continued to have families coming to us who were sitting on wait lists. And we know that the waitlist problem across the field is enormous. And we know that there's not a great system in place for navigating, should I be on this waitlist? What's my next level of care? What does that look like? What's the best care and intervention for which case? And what does that case look like? And I know that the field, and we all need to still get there. But what we wanted to do was, how could we support someone who's been told that they need different care, but doesn't have access to that care at this moment in time? And so this Family First Empowerment Cohort brought together a few different cohorts of families to really talk through, what does it look like to be, to kind of reflect on their own journey, mm-hmm. and their own feeding experience and their own history of trauma around medical pieces and or feeding pieces. And also work to equip them and empower them to advocate for their role as a parent and what they know that they need for their children or their child. And so we have been really reviewing the results and iterating on that program, and are preparing to work in partnership with others to launch that to even more families next year. Mm-hmm. And so we're really excited about that program. The name will shift a little bit. I know that's still being worked on, but I think the original idea of really making sure the support is for a parent or a caregiver at that moment in time when there are so many questions of who to listen to and what to do next, it's a particular moment in time that needs a lot of support. And so that was something that was very exciting about that time. And then after that, we had Awareness Month. And like you referenced, this year we did PFD and ARFID Awareness Month, and we struggled too with naming, you know, do we make it Feeding Disorders Awareness Month, Feeding Disorders and Differences Awareness Month? And we spent a lot of time thinking about language, and we know that ARFID needs more awareness, but we also know that PFD needs a lot of awareness as well. And people need awareness of the overlap, that there is oftentimes a co-diagnosis between PFD and ARFID because of access or because of how it's evolved and how the feeding journey has evolved. And so we really thought it was important to still name PFD and ARFID and help people understand that there are these two conditions. I know it's a lot of letters, a lot of acronyms, but they do work in tandem, and one can evolve into the other and vice versa. And it's important to acknowledge both and be aware of both together. That is a key piece to making sure you get the best care that you need. So that was Awareness Month, and we really was the best Awareness Month yet. We did Ask the Experts, and we had such great community feedback. And all of you out there that are listening did such an amazing job of sharing information, because we've always tried to say, as much as like we feel responsible for PFD, we do not own PFD. And so it's so important that everybody can just take this and run with it. And we can be a part of it, but we don't have to be. It's important that the information just gets out there.
Mm-hmm. True.
And so, yeah, so that was the Awareness Month. And then the last thing that I wanted to mention during this quarter was our quality inquiry work. And I can't remember, I don't think we've shared about this before, but this is another pilot project that we did to really better understand kind of some of the referral pathway challenges, as well as four domain evaluation challenges that exist in a community setting, as well as some insurance challenges. So this was a project that we worked on with a community partner here in Arizona. And what we really did was we looked to identify children at the pediatrician office and send them for a full four-domain evaluation. And then better track and understand how the insurance company was handling that from the community setting, because we often see that being one of the biggest challenges to understanding all four domains in the community versus, as we know, that happens at some of the institutions that have a little bit more like department coordination. And so this work was really interesting because it pointed out a lot of different things than we maybe initially thought. So we were thinking that we would learn a little bit more on like the insurance side and some of that stuff. And we did. But one of the biggest things that came out of it is we had like a meeting with the pediatrician afterwards. And it was actually kind of disappointing because I think there was such a hesitation to think about leveraging feeding screening questions and that maybe we need to treat the parents' anxiety before we can even touch the feeding situation. And there was just such a gap in terms of understanding PFD and all of the domains and how maybe a primary care can help support that evolution over time, especially early on in life. And so that it was both a really important project, but also one that like was not a gut punch, but just like we still have so far to go. And that's like, and that's the part that system change is really hard to tackle sometimes, because you're like, okay, we need to think 20 years out, but we need to make movements now to make sure that like 20 years out, we're even better, in a better place.
Yeah. Well, and that's exactly why Feeding Matters is here, right? Like that's why.
Yeah. Yes. But that's why we have to have conversations like this, because we build each other up. And it's so helpful to know that, like, even though some of the times the small stuff is hard, that overall we're working towards something bigger. Just like in feeding therapy, you celebrate the small wins.
Yeah. Okay. So I'd like you to tell me more about how in quarter three, things shifted into more clinical and professional development work. So what happened then?
Yeah. So that was like July, August, and September. And so those were important pieces for the foundation of clinical work. And so we've had the conference as a flagship educational event for years. And this year we had our Feeding and Eating Psychology Summit. And while we've had the summit last year, this is the first year where we kind of thought about like across all developmental stages and really thinking about what are the different disciplines at play and how are we focusing on psychological interventions from all different perspectives. And so I thought that was a really cool event. And I hope that it's something that we've had really great feedback from it. Mm-hmm. And as we continue to pursue, what does it look like to bring quality educational information that is relevant and timely and still can be built within the broader framework? I think it's just an important thing to focus on. And so that was a really great event. And we will continue to do the Psychology Summit, just like we will continue to do the conference, because we know that there are different people that want different things. And so that's what we're really trying to do, is we know that there's so much need here in terms of quality education and a community. I think our events also build community. So I love that about that. Mm-hmm. The other thing that was part of the clinical foundation, and this is actually almost like an answer to the problem that I shared with our project around referrals, is the physician outreach project. And so that's a committee under Feeding Alliance at Feeding Matters. And they work in partnership with Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, who was working on modules around PFD. And so this is a great example of how it's so important to talk to each other about what we're doing. The POP committee was working on some pediatrician outreach. And then we heard that CHOA was doing some module development. We were like, oh, we're better together. Let's at least build this together, so we're not recreating the wheel or duplicating efforts or doing any of those things. And so they worked and developed six modules around PFD for primary care. So those modules are completed. They are animated, short videos, and now they are being tested within the pediatrician population to really help understand the PFD framework and important questions for our primary care physicians to be asking our families. Like one of the family experience modules talks about, let's ask what is being done to gain the weight. And I know that that's something that we've talked about before in terms of like beyond the growth chart is, yeah, we may be gaining weight or things may be looking okay, but have we really understood why or how hard it is for mom or dad or grandma to be making sure that this is happening and what stress and anxiety the family is under to make sure that they're thinking about feeding all of the time. And one quick story about that, there's the modules were being shared and tested with some residents. And the residents shared, I wouldn't have even thought to ask that question. And that was like such a win because the that's what we're trying to do in a lot of our system change work is change mindsets. There's a lot of intention and strategy that goes into system change work. And a lot of it is around how can you change mindsets at the community level? But to hear an individual who will be out there in the pediatrician world say, even at this early of a stage, I now know to change my questions and my series of questions was really powerful. And then we ramped up to head into the end of the year and tried to work on the end of the year really aggressively because next year is our 20th anniversary. So Feeding Matters has been around for 20 years, which is both exciting and also like, whoa, like, you almost have so many expectations of what 20 years means. But part of this celebration is looking back, and we will do that next year. We'll look back and we'll be able to honor and celebrate all of the different milestones and the people who made this work possible because it's something that we certainly have not done alone. And so as we prepared to close the end of the year, we had our major signature event, which is a fundraiser held here in Arizona. And that was called Feed the Cause, where we have many different chefs. And it's just a night. It was so fun. It's been really rainy out here in Arizona. So typically it's a beautiful night outside, but we had it inside and it worked just fine. But it also reminded us that it's important to come together, build community, and show each other that like we can bring people together at a time when nonprofits and all of this uncertainty need that support the most. And a reminder that like, when the community shows up, the mission moves, and our fundraiser is what allows us to do that. And we have many different fundraisers throughout the year to really make sure that we're doing the work that we can be doing. We've joked about our cookie list. We have many things that sit on our cookie list of things that we know that the field needs that we will get to at some point in time, but yeah. It's something that we need to build to.
Well, and I feel like we need to explain the cookie list sometimes.
Oh, yeah, good point.
It is just a list of like to-dos or things that we want to accomplish that we can't do at this moment, but
it's the wish list of things that we know need to be done, but cannot do them at this time because we have to focus on what we're able to accomplish. And we still kind of take on too much at some points too, but I think that that's makes the team who we are, is that we like have big dreams and we make big things happen. And we've been told for 20 years, oh, good luck on making that big idea happen. And we've been able to accomplish a lot of big ideas. And so we'll just keep marching.
Yeah. Nom, nom, nom.
On the cookies.
Nom, nom, nom. Oh, and at Feed the Cause this year, didn't you have more families attending?
Yes, it was so great. So a lot of our corporate sponsors were able to donate some tickets to ensure that families could come to the fundraiser. And I think we had over 20 families that were able to come and take a night off and really be able to be with each other too. So it's given us some good ideas for what that looks like in the future too.
That's great.
Just continuing to build community.
All right. So now do you want to talk about some ongoing wins that people may not realize happened?
Yeah. So we now have many different community councils across the United States, with even more in development. We have councils in Arizona, Georgia, Texas, Wisconsin, Washington, New York, and kind of surrounding areas. And then we've played with, like, is it the tri-state? Is it the Northeast? What does that look like? And then even India is in development as well. And so it's just a reminder that, like, our community is so powerful and so passionate too. And that outreach in partnership with the work that we're able to do, I think, is really a dream come true. And so that was really exciting to celebrate. Our documentary was filmed throughout this year. I know we shared the trailer at the conference, but the rest of the filming happened this year, and it's almost done. I'm supposed to see one of the final versions any day now. And so that's really exciting. And we will be having screenings next year. So we will have a screening in your area if you want. So we are looking for different people who want to be able to support the screenings. And it's really to show that our families are still being failed by a system that's supposed to support them. And I think one of the things that we saw this year with all of the uncertainty is that, yes, things kind of got broken and things were uncertain and all of these things. But because of how much work we still need to do with PFD and ARFID, it's almost like it wasn't like something broke so completely, because we still need to build up a system. We don't have a system that best supports our children with PFD and our older children with, as they turn into ARFID and grow up and have ARFID as adults. Mm-hmm. So that was really a piece for this year. And the documentary, I think, will be a powerful awareness tool. And then our alliance that turned from PFD Alliance to Feeding Alliance into Honor Inclusivity is we had 5 learning lounges this year to really grow community building and networking and shared peer learning. And then something to celebrate here in Arizona that we hope can be a model elsewhere is our Arizona Medical School Collaboration. The Arizona Medical Association had a statement supporting early screening for PFD that was incorporated into their official publication. Okay. And it means that medical schools need to be teaching about PFD. And so now we're working to, and we've got a network of partners here in Arizona that we're working to either test the POP modules, PFD POP modules, or other tools to be able to better support education about PFD in the medical schools. And then I think these are important to share. They're kind of boring for those that don't get the nonprofit world, but our operations wins. People may not know, it's very hard to run a nonprofit sometimes just because there's a lot of regulation, and we need to steward our donors' funds really well. And that's something I, as CEO of Feeding Matters, take very seriously. Mm-hmm. And so clean audit is something we do, an audit every year to make sure our books are clean. And we came out this year with a clean audit. We have 5 states represented on our board of directors who are responsible for our strategy and are fiscally our governing board. And then we also had a platinum seal of transparency that we earned from the nonprofit watchdog Candid GuideStar, formerly GuideStar. So those are huge wins to celebrate, because we take that stuff very seriously. It does take a lot on our end, but it's important because then people can trust us, and trust is so important to us. And so I wanted to mention it. And then,
Jacqueline,
some new resources that we launched this year. We launched the Feeding Matters Digest, and that's just another email to make sure everybody's kept up to date. The Family Guide 2.0 was launched near the end of last year, so really formally launched early this year. We also were able to get our Spanish version of the Family Guide up, which was not only a language, but also a cultural translation of our Family Guide. We launched our PFD and ARFID school toolkit because of our advocacy pillar. And then because of all of the uncertainty and some of the challenges around food access, we launched our Food Access Resource Hub for both national and state resources, and have really done a lot to try to get in front of food banks and help them understand feeding disorders and differences. And we've been receiving such great feedback from food banks who are like, oh, I didn't know this, this important information for me to know. Like, thank you for sharing this. And so that's been really phenomenal to be able to do that type of educational outreach to a group that has always been on that cookie list, but this year just kind of sped that up. And then something that's always important for me to share is our family support momentum. We gifted family assistance scholarships to 11 families because we know that insurance does not cover everything and definitely doesn't cover some of the things that are that don't even seem like they're in the realm of feeding, but are like replacing carpet or something like that if there's a lot of vomiting. And then really we're able to build our family coaches and see that we have family coaches everywhere in the United States and even in different countries. And so that's been amazing that we can connect families to a family coach. And so if you're out there and you do want to talk to someone who's been there, know that our Power of Two program is there for you to call free of charge, and you can talk to another parent who gets it and understands where you're coming from. And that's our Power of Two program.
Everywhere, like every state?
Yeah. Not every state. That would be a goal that we have eventually.
Okay. But everywhere, like pretty much you can access people if you need them.
Yes.
That's great.
You can definitely access people if you need them, and that's something that's huge for us is making sure that we are able to meet people where they are.
Fantastic resource.
Yeah, it really is. And I was trying to find a quote because we've had so many great quotes from families, but one said that this has been the hardest time of their entire life. They felt so isolated and that their doctors and specialists weren't listening, especially when they kept trying to explain what was going on, and that they don't know where they'd be without their mentor. And they just acknowledged that it's what they liked most was being paired with someone who really understood and got it.
Yeah.
And I think that program is very powerful. It's how we started as an organization, and we'll share more of that in our 20th year next year. But really important to talk about. And then many different research and professional milestones. We'll talk more next year as the longitudinal study hopefully gets out there and gets published. And I know you're going to be talking about the longitudinal study at the conference.
Yes.
You were able to present our work with the consortium at PCORI's conference, which was huge.
Yes.
We had lots of community submissions for the conference and then lots of acceptances for presentations. So many things, and so many things that you've honestly been a part of, Haley. Like, you have been not only the co-host for Feeding Does Matter and my co-PI with the consortium, but also so integral to so many things that we've done at Feeding Matters, and even just like a sounding board for ideas as well. So I just wanted to say thank you for all that you've done to make this year what it has been, and it's been great.
Thank you. I mean, it's one of the greatest pleasures of my life, to be honest. Super fun and very fulfilling.
Yeah.
And I love it. And happy birthday to the podcast.
Yeah, for sure. It's crazy that it's been a year. There were just a few more things that I wanted to share from this year. And just as I've been reflecting, I felt like there were some themes around how this year turned out. That we began and ended the year with so many of the same system barriers that we see for families.
Yeah.
But that's the reality of system change. And that's okay, because we know we're still marching towards the future that we can see. And real change happens when families and patients are heard and centered. And partnerships and collaborations amplify everything. We really can't do this alone. Our collaboration with you, our collaboration with others, our collaboration with thought leaders and community settings and other nonprofit organizations is what makes this work happen.
Yes.
And that's really important to us to continue and to even grow in our collaborations.
Yes.
And we've talked about this, but language matters. And this year we did a lot of evolving our language intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
System change work is patient advocacy. And I think people are so comfortable and used to hearing patient advocacy, but I think Feeding Matters does patient advocacy in a different way. And it's that system change piece that I think is really powerful.
So I want to shift into something we've talked about privately, Jacqueline, the financial landscape for nonprofits this year. What do people need to understand?
Well, we've talked a little bit about the uncertainty, and it was one of the hardest funding years for nonprofits, and much has shifted with especially a lot of the research, a lot of pivots from research traditional research funding into like some of the typical like nonprofit space. And so that's like, it's just kind of felt like the ground is moving underneath us in a lot of ways. And I know that this year was hard on so many people. It's important to talk about that we are here and we are stable and we are strong, but we are strong because of all of your support, and that this strength is exactly why investing in us matters. So if you are out there and you believe in the work of Feeding Matters, we do encourage you to consider a small reoccurring donation or to consider a year-end gift, because I think many people assume that Feeding Matters is really big and big enough and may not need support, but we are big because of all of you. And we've got big ideas, big goals, a big cookie list to get to. And we can only do that with everybody's support. And so it's a growing movement, a growing need. And that steady support from everybody is really critical. And so if we want the system change work to continue, we need you alongside us. And so please consider supporting us in a way that's meaningful to you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would say when you look at Feeding Matters and their staff, I mean, it's, there's not many of them there, actually.
No, I'm constantly like trying to make sure, like, where do we, yeah, how can we balance all the great things that we know we need to do with making sure that the team can do it? We do more with less, but we do it in a really meaningful way. And we really try to take care of everybody, knowing that we feel a great responsibility for the entire system of care and families and clinicians and all of the things for feeding. Yeah. So as we look ahead to 2026, there's so much to be excited about. So many of the same events that you've come to know and love from Feeding Matters, but also our documentary premiere, more community councils expanding. We've got some growing stuff happening for our It's Not Picky Eating campaign and our It's Not Picky Eating website, more early identification stuff, and more collaborations and partnerships to share, and more system change initiatives to share about. And in general, one of the biggest things this year that we didn't even talk too much about was the reframe around how important feeding development is. And that's something that we will talk a lot about next year, is we still aren't getting to these kids early enough. And it's that mindset shift of, we have been trying to share with people for so long that feeding development is important to pay attention to because we want to identify feeding disorders. But now we need to help them understand that let's just track feeding development in general, and we know we will catch our kids earlier. This year taught me that progress isn't loud, that sometimes it's quiet, sometimes it's slow, and sometimes it's one family at a time. And so to all of you who are listening, thank you so much for making this year what it was and what it is. And so excited to celebrate next year, 20 years of making an impact, and it's all because of you. So I just am so grateful to you, Haley, to our community, to the entire team at Feeding Matters that works tirelessly to make this happen. It's just a year why we keep going.
Even though it's been a tough year, the future does feel full of a lot of possibility. And I'm really looking forward to 2026 and the 20th anniversary. Too. Super looking forward to seeing the documentary also.
Yeah, for sure.
Really. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us for this year. I know we said bye, but I forgot to tell you all. We will be doing, in case you missed it, so our most popular podcast. So we'll be back for replays the next few Tuesdays of the year. And Haley and I will see you in the new year. Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Coming in 2026, the Feeding Matters International Pediatric Feeding Disorder Conference explores the theme, Feeding Development, where systems, skills, and stories connect. This entirely virtual conference includes over 30 hours of continuing education with keynote sessions from Emory Center for Ethics Professor John Leisiker and from the family nutritionist Alexandra Turnbull. Attend live, virtually, February 25th through the 27th, and view on demand March 9th through April 30th. Visit feedingmatters.org/conference to learn more. Register by December 31st and save $50 with early bird pricing.